Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today. All this month, really, on the first Sunday, well, not the first Sunday, we introduced the theme on the first Sunday, but every Sunday morning, we're running with a theme. And this month's theme is, I will study with all my heart. So I got to preface what I'm doing this month by Todd challenged me this month, and in particular with this lesson, which is going to turn out to be the whole month, because that's the only way I can figure out how to do it. But he said, hey, we know we need to study God's Word. What I would like you to try and do is maybe spend this month thinking about teaching us how to study. We're going to study with all our heart. What does that look like? And so that's what we're going to try to accomplish this month, is to maybe start a fire, rekindle that fire, or keep that fire going in you to study God's Word. It is of vital importance. And so this morning we're going to look at the book of the Lord, why it's called that, why we should read it, and then in the conclusion thought, how we should read the Bible. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And please keep in mind, these are all going to fit together. I hope at the end of this month, after looking at five lessons, that we'll be able to confidently say, yes, I know how to study God's Word, and I want to excel in that. Now, there are tremendous challenges with that. How do you take a sermon and not make that a classroom format? Very difficult, very hard. So I'm aware of that. It was one of the reasons I sent Brother Todd a text yesterday and said, hey, I'm going to put your thought on the back burner till next week. And I got thinking about it, and I said, no, let's go ahead and start this morning. And so I'm very aware of that. And so if it comes off as very class, as far as a classroom format, that's not my desire. I truly want it to be a sermon, but bear with me as I work through this week. Another challenge to that is we all learn different ways. And so I'm going to take the approach of what I do through this month and kind of show you some of the things that I do in preparation for preaching a lesson or doing a Bible class, how I get in and study and prepare for that. If you have suggestions after hearing this morning's lesson and as we go through the month, if there are things that work well for you, let me know that. I'll definitely bring that into the discussion as this month unfolds. Somebody already asked me, are these inspired versions up on the front of the building? I did bless them. No. These are man's writings, and so you'll come to find out as we go through this month that I will make reference to some of these books, and you'll notice as the month goes on that the books and the stacks up here will get bigger. And that's not to push you towards that. It's not to lean upon man and trust in that. It's just to help you appreciate what goes in to preparing a lesson or diving into a biblical idea that you're wanting to study. These are four of the five books that I used to prepare for this morning's lesson. Now, that's just books. There are other references that I've looked at, websites that I've looked at. And so I want to bring that out as we go through this month, is to help you appreciate when you sit down and study with all your heart what that looks like. And then my hope and desire is that at the end of the month you'll be able to say, boy, I need to do better with my Bible study. I'm not pushing myself as much. And so I hope that comes across in this month. And those of you that are doing well, keep doing what you're doing. I'm just going to present one side to this coin, and there are other sides as well. And so bear with me as we set on this path together. And so again, I want to emphasize, I don't want people to think and walk away from the building this morning. I'm not saying this is the truth. That is the truth, and we need to be studying God's Word. These assist with understanding biblical principles. And so again, I hope this serves as a PowerPoint as well, that, you know, to go in and to study God's Word and what that looks like. It takes a lot of effort. That's what I'm trying to portray with these books up here. It takes effort. It takes a whole lot of effort to study with all our heart. And, nothing wrong with just reading. There's value in that. We need to be doing just sitting down and reading scriptures. I'm not downplaying that in any way at all. But the theme is studying with all our heart. So what does that look like? Okay, enough of that. Hopefully that's okay. So Isaiah chapter 34 is a powerful chapter. It's a chapter that is filled with great insight and depth into as far as who God is. And this text appears nearly at the close of one of the most awesome chapters that the human eyes can read. And definitely, as far as an inspired writing pen or chisel or however it was recorded back then, paint, scrolls. But as far as setting your eyes on a text, this is one of those chapters that is almost superior than others, because it helps us understand and appreciate the Lord and how He can act in certain situations. He's dealing with, and His vengeance is being demonstrated upon the wicked nations of the earth. If you've not read Isaiah chapter 34 in its entirety, you really need to do that. It will help you appreciate this. Primarily, there is a message to the Edomites here. And we remember them well, Israel's brother, and yet they refused them permission to pass on their lands. We probably all are very familiar and can remember that account. To add insult to injury, they end up joining up with the enemies of Israel, and God says His judgment will come upon the common man and even the beasts of the earth. That's what we find in verses 6 and 7. The result will be one that, as was being read for us this morning, when we got down to verse 9 and 10, you probably were being reminded of Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened there. And we find it very some parallels being listed as far as what Sodom and Gomorrah looked like and what would happen after God dealt with the nations in this area here. Their identity as a nation would be lost as well. That's what verse 12 teaches us in Isaiah chapter 34. And it would become a barren wasteland, verses 13 through 16. And looking like the very undoing of creation itself in verse 11. And if anybody, any place from that moment on would question what happened, they would be able to go back and read and understand prophecy and also fulfillment. And so at the conclusion of this, the whole point of saying all this is what's recorded for us in verse 16. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Edom eventually testifies to the truthfulness of the claim that the Bible came from God. And so I want us to study this text throughout this month and understand and appreciate who God is and what He's revealed for us. Will you study with me this month the book of the Lord? So I want to start with a simple idea of why is it called the book of the Lord? And that's what I hope to establish with this morning's lesson, is to help us understand and appreciate what the book of the Lord is, why we should read it, and how we should read it. If we're going to talk about the importance of studying with all our heart, I think we need to understand the book that we're going to read, the book that we're going to give our all in as far as study is concerned. Now, let me ask you a question. All of us here can probably think back to a time when we were in school. Some of us have to think a little bit longer. You only have a few minutes to do that, so think very quickly. But we can all remember when we had to study for a test. And some of us took that very laxly. We didn't do a lot of study and preparation, and our grade usually reflected that. I was always excited in school when we had multiple choice, because that meant that most times I had a 50% chance of getting the right answer. Wrong way to approach Bible study. Wrong way to approach judgment as well. This is not something to take lightly. I hope that we appreciate that through this month. Bible study is absolutely essential to our well-being as a Christian. And I'll say tonight, in tonight's lesson, we're going to deal with one of the texts in the Psalm 119 in a verse there where it talks about the Word being a lamp to our way, to our feet. It illuminates our path. And that's exactly what God's Word does for us. I'm here to say as well, the book that you have on your laps and on your hands, maybe on your phones this morning, if you have one of them, you have one of the most richest blessings that mankind can possibly have apart from the forgiveness of our sins. We don't treat that word like that, do we? We throw it in our cars. You'll notice as you look at my Bible, I've tried to be very careful and conscientious where I put it and where I place it, but the binding's coming all apart. All the pages are falling out. At one point, I was missing the whole book of James and didn't know it until I preached a lesson and tried to refer to James, and it wasn't in my Bible. I had to go searching for it. This word that God has given us is precious, very precious. It's more valuable than anything that you'll possess on this side of eternity. Hopefully we appreciate that and understand that. Okay, so let's move from our text in Isaiah chapter 34 and the lesson that Edom had. And I'll try to stay out of the way of the PowerPoint, especially on this side over here. I know I can probably get in the way of that. I just like the feel of being on the floor and in front of you all. So I'll try to stay out of your way. If I'm in your way, I don't know where to get to. Maybe I should be up there. You all are looking over there taking notes. I don't want to get in the way. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's begin there. I think that's a wonderful place to start. It's very familiar for all of us. It's a text that we've probably got underlined in our Bibles. If you're like me, you've probably got some notes jotted on the side of the margin there. You definitely have words underlined. If you do any kind of note-taking in your Bibles itself, it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You've heard me talk about this before. It literally means that God's breath is upon us. When we read Scriptures, it's almost like, and it's as if God is standing before us and speaking this to us. We can take this as true. This is God's Word. It's God's breath upon us. It continues to say this, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there are many proofs, many scriptures that we can turn to that testify to the fact of what's recorded for us very plainly and very simply in this text here. Many cross-references we can turn to, and I'm not going to do that this evening. You might even say to yourself, what is a cross-reference? Good thing. We're going to talk about that this month. I think it's important for us to understand what a cross-reference is and how to use a cross-reference. And so we'll talk about that as this month unfolds as well. But it is called the Book of the Lord because it's inspired by the Lord. That's what we find in this verse. That's why we're here reading this verse. It's not to fill time. It's not to waste your time. It's to help us to understand and appreciate all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. It literally, that's what it means. It's God-breathed. And so when we call the Bible the Book of the Lord, it's for that reason. We can also understand and appreciate in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1. Let's go back there to the very beginning, the very first verse of the Bible. And it says this, in the beginning, God, remember the book of the Lord? God created the heavens and the earth. You see, when we study Scripture with all our heart, we begin to understand and appreciate the Bible is the history of God. It gives us information about God. And why not? It's God's breath, right? It's God's literal breath upon us. He breathed His Word, and we have it today. And so when we study the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, we get a great understanding of who the Lord is. It gives us a history of God. One of the books that are not up here is a word study book. And you're able to turn there and look up the word Lord, and it will give you every verse that has the word Lord in it. You can begin to appreciate the overwhelming amount of verses that have God or the Lord in them. It's riddled throughout Scripture. And for good reason. It gives us history of who God is and what He's done. You know, God created all. How do we know that? It's because God's Word tells us, right? In the beginning, God created all. He created everything. And so we can appreciate that from Scripture, from His Word, from His book. And again, I want to start before I go any further. Hopefully, we don't have anybody that would think this. God didn't just drop this out of heaven just like this. A bunch of collective letters written to individual people, to groups of people, by different men over a great amount of years. And we'll talk about those facts in lessons to come. But when we talk about the book of the Lord, as far as what we're making reference to, we're talking about the Bible. It also is sanctioned by God as well. I love Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's turn over there. Isaiah chapter 55. There's a couple of verses I want to make reference to there. Isaiah chapter 55, and in verse 10, it says this: "For as the rains come down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but the water, but water the earth, and it makes it bring forth its buds, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." In verse 11, it says this: "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish whatever I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now, there are other references we can turn to. I'm going to turn to one other one just to talk about the idea of it being sanctioned by the Lord, being given by the Lord. His stamp of approval is on the Word. In Romans chapter 1, a text that we're very familiar with, I read it often when I preach. I often quote it. It says, "For I am not ashamed," in verse 16, "of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And goes on to say, "For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." The word there, "for it is the power of God." It's the dunamis. It's the dynamite that will drive the person who could care less about God. When he understands and reads God's word, it helps give him appreciation that he needs to do something with his life. We'll talk about that in the second point in just a moment from now. But we call this the book of the Lord because the Lord, it was sanctioned by the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 also teach that. There's no other book like the Bible. None. No matter what man tries to convince us to believe or to think, there is none like this book, the book of the Lord. It stands alone. In Acts chapter 8, let's turn over there for a quick moment as well this morning. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 35, it says this: "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scriptures and preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" We all know as this unfolds, Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He says he does. They both go down to the water. He's baptized, and this man returns to his home again. And we all rejoice about that. Another soul has been added to the kingdom of God. What we sometimes fail to appreciate is what just happened here. God's word was preached, and what happened? An individual obeyed the gospel. You see what happened? In the pages of the Bible, in the pages of the book of the Lord, a state of a person is revealed to them. An individual that approaches the Bible with all his heart to study it comes to the very real fact in a hurry where their state is with God. And it's pressed upon that good, honest heart that something needs to be done in their life. Justification needs to take place. "Just if I'd not sinned." That's what needs to happen. They need to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know something? Without the book of the Lord, there's no way for us to know that. We can also understand the fifth point on the board this morning. It's used of the Lord. I think that's interesting. I think it's a point that we don't often really meditate, at least myself. Maybe you probably are a lot better than me. Maybe you do think about this aspect. But in John chapter 12 and verse 48, it says this: John chapter 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive what? What's the scripture say? Receive my word, has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him when? In that last day. How important is this word? Vitally important to us, is it not? I think all of us can understand very quickly from a slide like this, this is why it's called the book of the Lord. I have all the main ideas that I wanted us to grasp with this slide underlined. It's inspired, it describes, it's sanctioned, it leads, and it is used. All of these things are important to us, and probably many of us understand and appreciate these thoughts already. So why should we read the Bible? Why should we read it? What's the benefit of it? The elders have selected for this month the theme, I will study with all my heart. Why give that attention in your life? Listen, they're the elders. Who cares what they say, right? They're not going to watch me when I'm home. Why are they pleading with us to study with all our heart? Why do that? There are many reasons. There are many more that I had listed on the PowerPoint, and I kind of trimmed those out. I probably should have just left them up and just talked about a few of them, because there are many, many, many reasons why we need to read the Bible. I'm going to just make reference to several of these this morning. In Psalm, let's turn over there, in Psalm 119, we're going to talk about this verse tonight when we come back together, but in Psalm 119, in verse 105, in Psalm 119, in verse 5, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean to you? When you look at this verse, and maybe this is some of the aspect of learning how to study being brought into this lesson, what is your idea when you read that verse? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Well, to truly understand what the verse is talking about, there are a few things you have to do. One, you have to get a word study book out. You got to look at what's being talked about there. What word? What's being made reference to there? What about a lamp in this day and time? What purpose did a lamp serve? The wonderful thing is we don't have to put ourselves really back in that place to understand what a lamp does. We all understand and appreciate. Not long ago, I was at one of the farm stores, and they had their little flashlights on sale, and there were green ones and pink ones and blue ones, and I get frustrated with my kids because they always go in my drawer and get my good flashlight out, and they usually leave it on, and when I really need it, it's dead. And so I thought, well, I'll spend a dollar on these flashlights and get them for them. And one of the things that the kids used to like to do when I would go outside at night, they would like to come out with me. Why? They like to get those lights out, right? And the LED lights, they'd shine them around. And the dog, you know, you put it on the ground and she goes nuts all over the place. They use it as for fun, right? I wonder sometimes if that's us. God's word is a lamp. As it states for us, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word has a benefit for us. And I'm fearful that maybe at some points in our life, we approach studying God's word because of what it can provide for us. Maybe you like being in groups and social settings. And we know if we go over and study for a little while, then after we get to do some fun things. And so we use God's word as a way to provide recreation and entertainment for us. That's a bad way to approach God's word, and very bad to use God's word in that way. We'll talk about that very quickly in the last point this morning. But we are to read God's word because of the enlightenment it gives. This is a book of knowledge. And when we read it, we can understand the past, the present, and the future. That's what makes this book so uniquely different than any other book. It reveals to us the past, what has happened, what God has done. It continues to teach us about what God is doing today for us and what will be as time unfolds and we pass from this earth and we face judgment. It enlightens us. It teaches us. We'll talk more about that tonight. I would like to say more, but I don't want to do that because, I want to talk about it tonight. So that's what we're going to do. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, let's turn over there for just a second. We also can gain examples. I like examples in my life. I like to be able to... I'm somebody that likes to, when I'm learning something, watch somebody do it. My dear friend Don, who I bought my house from, he's a master woodworker. And he was talking to me before I started turning pans and turning bowls. He asked me, "Do you want to turn a bowl?" My tree over at the house fell over when my mom was in one trip, and on one of her trips. And it rested upon the front of her car, didn't do any damage, but he said, "Hey, you want to turn a bowl?" And he started talking to me about the process of turning a bowl, and it was just going in one ear and out the other, you know? "Do you want to turn it?" "Yes, I want to turn it, but I want to watch you turn it." That's how I learn. When I'm able to see it, have the example before me, I can really grasp onto that and really, I learn a different way than other people. That's why a series like this is kind of difficult and hard, because I'm approaching it through my eyes. But when we read the scriptures, we have example upon example of what to do and what not to do. And if you do this, this will be the consequence for it. If you live in this way, this is what's waiting for you. And I love that about the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, this is what's recorded for us. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footprints." I love the Beatitudes. I love learning about the Beatitudes. But just as important as learning about the Beatitudes is watching how Christ interacted with people. When we read the scriptures, we can understand, here is the example. Here's what we need to do, and here is the example. This is what's unfolding. When he would interact with people, he would deal with them in a certain way. And the Bible is riddled with examples of both good and bad. We've studied about Barnabas. We've studied about Herod. What did Barnabas do? That's an example for us, right? We've studied about his life, who he was, where he came from, what he did, situations he was involved with. And we want to, our plea is to follow that. As he follows the life of Christ, follow that man. We studied about Herod. Good or bad, Brother Ben? Bad, right? Man who Jesus called a fox. Why did he call him a fox? Right? We went through that. We studied it. Why? Because he serves as an example of how not to live our life. The Bible is riddled with examples. Edification, we can turn to it and gain that. Encouragement, when we're suffering, the Psalms are filled with verses of encouragement to us. No matter really whatever state or whatever situation we're struggling with, the Scriptures serve as an encouragement to us. So there are many reasons. Those are just four great reasons why we need to study the Bible. Now you might say, "Well, he didn't talk about this or he didn't talk about that." You're right, I didn't. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I don't know where your mind's running. But there are many other reasons to study the Scriptures. So in conclusion, how should we study God's Word? Very quickly, I'm not going to read all of these, but I want us to understand and appreciate, when we set into a series like this, and when the elders talked about studying with all our heart and what that looks like, I'll tell you, in prepping for this lesson, it's turned into multiple lessons, and for this reason, we can turn into Scriptures and find Scriptures where people reverently studied God's Word. What does that mean to you? When you look at that list and it says reverently, what does that mean to you? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me show you what I mean, and maybe you'll appreciate where I'm coming from a little bit more. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And from childhood you have known" what? What's it say? What does the Scriptures tell us? It says this: "The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I want us to understand and appreciate, when we approach studying God's Word, we don't approach it like we're reading Harry Potter. We shouldn't approach Bible study like we would approach a different book. My boys call it chapter books. You know, the schools give them these books, and and they can read it or not, you know, or flip through. I know one of the things my girls were telling me, I said, hey, what'd you learn in school today? They said, oh, we read the first three pages of a book and we're able to tell what the book is about. What? Boy. Tell you what, if we approach studying God's Word like that, boy, we're in big trouble. Right? God's Word is holy. It's, as we already testified to the fact, it's God's breath upon us. And so we ought to approach Bible study very reverently. This is God we're studying about. He is revealing this to us. It demands our utmost attention. We also know by looking at John chapter 5, again, I will not read all of these, but there is some excitement in reading some of these verses. It enlightens us. In John chapter 5 and verse 39, it simply says this, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Now, when we look at that, when we think about that word search, what's being talked about there? This word comes from a word that would indicate like a miner after a piece of ore. Right? To us, we'll say, well, that doesn't mean much to us. What about you young men that have found your bride? When you knew she was the one, what were you not willing to do? What obstacles were you willing to jump through and climb over and get under to make sure that was she was yours? Think about a job that you've sought after. Something you really want to do with your life. You've been through the classes. You've studied. And now the opportunity is there. What are you not willing to do to make sure that you secure that job? You see, when we look at it like that, we would be willing to do anything. Anything. I've told this story many times. I've told it here many times. I lost my wedding band. I was out fooling around with their dog. It was cold. It slipped off, fell in the snow. And then, as you can imagine, I didn't have a clue where it was at. I was on my hands and knees, screaming, rooting through the snow, trying to find this thing. Took a man coming over with a metal detector to find it in the spring of the year. But I'll tell you what, almost every day I found myself out there with the dog looking down, trying to find that ring. How much effort do you put in to study God's Word? You see, fervently, that's what we need to be doing. Studying God's Word fervently. Isn't that what we find in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11? They were more fair-minded in that they searched the Scriptures how often? Daily. Daily. You see, reverently, fervently, frequently, Psalm 119 and verse 18 tells us to approach it prayerfully as well. And then practically, as we learn God's Word, we seek to put to practice what we learn. You see, so when we talk about studying God's Word, studying the book of the Lord with all our heart, you know in essence what we're saying? We want to know, we want to learn, we want to know, and then we want to put to practice what we learn. And so that's what we're going to talk about this month. How to study our Bibles. How to appreciate Bible study. How to get excited again about Bible study. I'm here to say I've been kind of failing with this at home. And, I think it was yesterday at supper, I took out the Bible before we started eating supper, and I read a passage, and everybody's kind of looking at me like, what's going on? What's Dad doing? You know, it's not something I'm accustomed to doing. I just didn't do it. But, we're all sitting together. Why not read a passage? And so we started talking about it. And it was great. It was wonderful. My kids were talking about the Bible. We read together. But you see, why haven't I done that before now? I do other things. And I hope that that's what a study like this does for us, does for you as an individual, that it will challenge you to appreciate studying God's Word a little bit more than you are right now. Studying God's Word is awesome when approached right. When we approach it wrong, we get ourselves in big trouble. So I hope that you'll appreciate the intro to this series on studying God's Word with all our heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not right with God. Why not become a child of God today? Give your life wholly and completely to Him. You'll never be sorry that you did All the things that you turn from on this earth, the changes, the repentance that needs to take place in your life, the friendships that you need to cut off, you will never be sorry that you did that. You'll never be sorry about that. But you will be if you give God half your heart or you don't obey Him come judgment. That's a reality. So why not obey Him now? Maybe you want to make that good confession that you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You can do that this morning. If you want to be baptized, we can take care of that this morning as well. If you're a child of God, you've not been living right, you can take care of that this morning as well. Come to the front. Raise your hand as we stand and as we sing.